Practical counsel for modern-day Esthers. Now, what does all this say to the woman today? I would venture to say that all of you who have read this far in my book, in your own way, want to be a modern-day Esther. Yet such qualities seem almost unattainable. They sound so unbelievably off the chart. How can any woman even imagine having all these qualities? It can happen. God does not mock us with things he includes in his word. He isn't in the business of making his people squirm under some unrealistic expectation that they can never attain, something that is so totally unique to one person but remains for everyone else a frustrating and unreachable challenge. But I must quickly add, you cannot become these things by taking your cues from the world. That only brings defeat and frustration. You, as an individual, have your own pressures, your own difficulties, your own unique circumstances, but God offers ways to handle them and become his special person. The question is how? I offer two ultra-simple but workable suggestions. First, ask God. Ask him to cultivate character within you. Ask him to give you a discontent for the superficial and a deeper desire for the spiritual. Make yourself available to his strength, his reproofs. Seek his counsel for the things you lack. Allow him to help you set reasonable goals. Record them in your journal so you will have a written account of your prayers to him. Anne Morrow Lindbergh, in her classic work, Gift from the Sea, writes this: I want, first of all, to be at peace with myself. I want a singleness of eye, a purity of intention, a central core to my life that will enable me to carry out these obligations and activities as well as I can. I want, in fact, to borrow from the language of the saints, to live in grace as much of the time as possible. I am not using this term in a strictly theological sense. By grace, I mean an inner harmony, essentially spiritual, which can be translated into outward harmony. I am seeking perhaps what Socrates asked for in the prayer from the Pheraetus when he said, May the outward and inward man be one. I would like to achieve a state of inner spiritual grace from which I could function and give as I was meant to in the eye of God. Ask God to give you that kind of authenticity, to place more emphasis on what's happening deep within your heart and less emphasis on the externals, the superficial, the temporary. Second, trust God. Trust him to control the circumstances around you, those very circumstances that you perhaps are using as excuse for not being the woman you want to be. Don't wait for your circumstances to be perfect. You know this, they never will be. Remember Esther. At the height of competition, surrounded by sensual, greedy, superficial women, Esther stood alone. And amazingly, God gave her favor in others' eyes. Ask God, trust God. We are completely dependent on him for eternal life, for forgiveness, for character, for security. His light in our life gives us a growing disgust for things that merely satisfy the flesh. It shows us the importance of character, the incredible change that can come by standing alone on the things of God. He alone can give us grace and winsomeness and keep us from becoming squint-eyed, cranky Christians. It is his working in our lives that uses us even in the harems of life to make a difference and to model a charm and a beauty, a dignity and an elegance that cannot help but cause people's attention to be drawn to him and his power. I feel great compassion today for the woman of God who has to endure the nonsense that comes from the media regarding her role, her insignificance, her place in society. I don't know of anyone who has more right to be confused than the woman of today. She receives all sorts of answers, all sorts of mixed messages, all sorts of alleged proof that independence is the only way to fly, and that doing your own thing and becoming what you please will bring you peace and lasting joy. Women must wonder at times, in the midst of this whirlwind, what exactly they are supposed to do. What exactly are they supposed to be? A special measure of assistance needs to be given to your daughters so they know how to be women of God in this world. Many are ready to give women a phony script. Start where you are, right now. God has given woman a uniqueness not found in any other of his creations. It is through woman that children are born, and only through the woman. It is the mother who has the most significant influence during a child's most formative years of life. The counsel of a mother is eloquent, even when not one word is spoken. Who hasn't caught the look from his or her mother? Who hasn't been motivated to a decision by the silence of a mother, by the model of a mother, and certainly by the tears of a mother? I believe this is true because God has given such women at least four qualities that impact our lives. First, God has given women a special intuition. This is a sixth sense that allows them to penetrate the hardest shell and see beyond the thickest facade and read the truth beyond error and falsehood. Women have the ability to sense character or the lack of such, while we men seem far more gullible. Their perception is at times incredible and on occasion maddening to us males. Second, God has given women an endurance to pain that he has not given to most men, whether it is the pain of childbirth or the ability to handle hardship over the long haul. Like the pioneer women of our country's early history, they have the ability to press on against unbelievable odds with relentless determination to persevere. I cannot number the men who have kept at the job simply because a woman in his life believed in him.